You are listening to Irish Radio Canada's Home and Abroad, and the film festival season is getting underway. Toronto, 23rd, and Ottawa is coming up April 12 to 14. And I'm delighted to be connecting with one of the directors, John Carlin. And John is the director of Lie of the Land. And that's a tense drama unfolds as the Wards prepare to abandon their lives, escaping a dire financial situation. But a last-minute change of heart leaves them fighting for survival. And John is the director, and an award-winning film, Lie of the Land. It won the Best Irish First Feature at the Galway Film Fla in 2023. And he is the director of horror short films, Exposure and 6 Feet Under, and an award-winning science fiction, The Way Back and Echoes. The Way Back won the Best Film at the Golden Blasters Science Fiction Festival in 2016 and appeared in Sky Television Short Film Show. Echoes won 4 awards internationally, including Cult Critic Movie Awards for Best Director and Best Film at the Dublin Science Fiction Film Festival. John, thanks a million for taking the time. Did I cover it adequately there, and I didn't make too many mistakes, did I?
No, that was absolutely perfect. Thank you very much for the glorious introduction. Makes me sound that I know what I'm doing.
John, you're a Derry man living in Belfast, or close to Belfast.
I am, yes. Basically, I first moved to Belfast to go to university to study a degree on sort of filmmaking back in 2000, and then just ended up staying here because I got a job at a television company, and I stayed with them for 11 years. And by the time I'd finished that, I sort of set up my home here. But no, I'm still a very proud Derry man. I go home quite often. I have a lot of relations still down there and things like that. So, yeah, I'm living in Belfast, but I'm a Derry man at heart.
So going to Belfast to study in an arts field, and I don't mean arts as the Bachelor of Arts, but in the artistics field, what was it that brought you in that direction, and where was Derry always has had a very high artistic environment, but what was it touched you that wanted you to go down this road?
Basically, it was when I was the age of 9. My parents were both musical, so my dad was an opera singer and my mum was a music teacher. So the arts in our house were always, cherished and pushed. I showed a love of film at the age of 9 whenever my mum showed me Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And she quickly followed up by telling me that there was also one that happened before it, which is Raiders of the Lost Ark. So I got that out in video, and then I watched Jaws and I watched E.T. and I realised that was one man had told all these stories. And at that age, I just said, I want to be a film director when I grow up. Of course, being laughed at in school for picking such a ridiculous career path. But it never left me. It was always something in the back of my mind that I just really wanted to tell stories on film. And, say from the age of 9 right through, I just constantly, pictured what that would be like. And I just read books to sort of understand storytelling and things like that. And by the time I sort of hit 15, 16, 17 at kind of age, I discovered Scorsese at that stage and, Francis Ford Coppola and Brian De Palma and, these great 1970s directors. They formed the kind of the way that I wanted to tell stories. So by the time I actually got to uni to do my degree, that was the first time I had managed to pick up a camera in my life. So I was, 18 and a half for the first time I got the opportunity to make a narrative film. So it took me a while, but I finally got there.
Prior to that, though, you weren't the one going around making the home movies, were you?
Not really. I mean, we had a video camera that we hired, from the rental shop. So anytime we had family gatherings, we had a video camera in the house for those events. But, I did very basic, rudimentary filming during those stages. It wasn't anything too complicated, and there definitely wasn't editing. So it was just a case of whenever you press stop on the tape, whoever picked it up next and hit record was the next scene as such. But, I did understand how to frame at that stage. My dad had also been a very keen photographer, even owned a photography shop in his early days. So I always knew how the picture could look within a rectangle or a square. And I think that did, sort of come to play later on in my life then when I started making films.
So what drew you to science fiction and horror?
Well, what I understood about filmmaking is that it's incredibly difficult to get an audience to react. In my personal opinion, I think comedy is probably the hardest film to make because you really are relying on laughs. And if they don't land, it doesn't go well. But when I was in university, a couple of the films I made first about, you know, just these are student films, remember? I decided to do horror because I found it was quite, you know, the easiest way to get an audience to react because they'll jump by the sound effect or by whatever technique you use in the camera. So it was just something that I thought was slightly easier, if I'm honest. But because I sort of got deep into that and making sci-fi and horror, I just, you know, fell in love with it. I think it's a beautiful genre. And I think that there's, you know, they also have openings to get romance into them or comedy into them. So they're not, you know, not such a locked genre overall.
You say in a comedy film, you know, you're relying on the laugh, but in a horror film, you're relying on the other thing, as you said, get the audience to jump. Mm. Is it not somewhat a similar process in your head insofar as that in constructing the narrative that you need to tell the story in a way that the suspense, the surprise, all that happens appropriately to capture the audience in the way that you describe?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there are similarities that way, but I think that, you know, personally, horror seems easier to me.
Yeah.
And one of the main factors is that usually the score to a horror film does most of the heavy lifting for you. I mean, you obviously do have slapstick-type comedy films out there, and Jim Carrey is one of the best for that type of thing, and he almost can't have, you know, the little symbol at the end of a joke to an extent. But overall, I think that it's much easier to score a horror or a sci-fi to hit those peaks. And I say that does half the work for you as a filmmaker, where you just need something to build to a moment with your actors on screen to, you know, this section where a door opens. But if you put a lovely piece of score in that, you know, goes off the charts of the screech at that point, your audience will react. And, you know, it's much easier to control their emotions with these kind of techniques.
But do you see yourself then as the interpreter of somebody else's script, or are you anxious to create your own script and then put that to screen?
Well, there's two answers to that. I do have stories I would love to put to screen, but I can't write dialogue. I find it extremely difficult to write something that sounds so natural. The type of filmmaking I like is more of the Ken Loach approach, which, you know, or Robert Altman back from the 70s, where, you know, everything looks quite natural and people can talk over each other. And I just don't have the skills to write dialogue that well. So, you know, I always say you should stick to your lane. There's a lot of people out there who all of a sudden just want to be a director or just want to be something else. And I'm sort of going, it's not that easy, you know. And I would prefer to stay within the lane that I know that I can do my best job. I would like to obviously develop some of my stories, but I would like to do that with scriptwriters, you know, so that we can work together.
So then within that context, The Lie of the Land, it's an Irish-based scene. How rich a field is there within the screenwriter community in Ireland for stories like this?
Do you know, it's growing is what I would say. I did think that a few years ago it was hard to kind of get your hand on feature scripts, you know, in this country. I had been sent a few and, you know, some of them were decent, some of them weren't great. They needed a lot of work, which means you need money. But, you know, unfortunately in the industry we're in, money's not easy to come by with those things. But I've noticed in the last 5 or 6 years, I've been getting more and more scripts sent to me, and the quality is getting better and better. And I can't really put it down to anything in particular of why that has all of a sudden seemed to blossom. But there's definitely something in the water that's going on here in Ireland, and we're getting stronger narratives coming out of scriptwriters. And more importantly, we're stepping away from the old trope of the troubles and violence and, you know, community relations, And now we're just telling international stories. And I think that's one of the reasons why this Irish wave is currently underway, because we've now realized we can tell bigger stories from, you know, from this country.
When you talk the international wave, you got an award at the Galway.
I did, yeah.
Best Irish first feature. And, you know, it would be remiss if we didn't talk that a week or so ago in Hollywood, Cillian Murphy walked away with Best Actor, and Oppenheimer got loads of rewards. And yeah. And also Element Pictures walked away with a number of Oscars. So
yeah, I think they got four for Poor Things, yeah.
Yeah, so here, you know, the Irish film industry is very much alive and well.
It's, I mean, it's the main, you know, how would I describe this? At the moment, it's just so proud to be an Irish filmmaker because of what you're seeing around you. It kind of feels that you can compete on a global scale at this stage. And there always have been Irish filmmakers and actors and storytellers within the film industry the whole way through. Same as every industry, there's always an Irish person involved, no matter where mm-hmm. you are. But I just think that something has happened a number of years ago that now we finally come to the front of filmmaking and we're showing our skills. Now, I personally think that this is down to the fact that in Northern Ireland, we had Northern Ireland Screen bringing in Game of Thrones to this country. And then we had Vikings that was brought into Dublin. And that almost happened at the same time. They were two huge big productions with high-end production values. And they ran for many series. And by the time those, you know, huge outfits had moved out of Ireland, what we'd left behind was a really highly skilled crew, you know, north and south, who were now capable of making films to the level of Hollywood, you know. And I think that has helped. You know, we say we've always had the actors there. You know, mm-hmm. if you look back over the years, there's always been fantastic Irish actors and storytellers. But now the filmmakers, the local filmmakers like myself, are getting opportunities to work with really fantastic crews and super talented cast. And, you know, we're able to bring our stories out now to the world. And I think that that's, has to be, it can't be a coincidence that that's happened off the back of these huge productions.
So, John, would it be fair to say then when you walk into a room and identify yourself as an Irish film director and that you have what you have under your belt, that the international industry is paying more attention to you than they would have done 10 years ago?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, there's no question about it. I was lucky enough to take my movie to Washington and Chicago there about a month ago. And the reception I had in America for this film was, you know, it was outstanding. It was beyond what I actually expected. You know, I have a story that say could be told in any country in the world. It's a simple story, but it does translate internationally. And, you know, the fact that, you know, you are walking into countries like America where the Irish already have a reputation and are loved. But, you know, they're willing to sit down and discuss filmmaking with you now and talk about the process and where did you learn your craft and things like that. And in the past, I don't think that would have happened. You know, I'd have won international awards for short films, but you know, nobody really showed much interest. Mm. And now people are starting to sit up and, you know, ask the questions.
So Lie of the Land is in Toronto. And it'll be out there on the 23rd today. It'll be in Ottawa the weekend, the 12th, 14th of April. What's the concept? What's the storyline here?
Well, the story is, I mean, when I was brought the script, I fell in love with the story because there are so many elements intertwined in this. The first thing that was important, this is based on something that's currently happening in Ireland. And so there's a real issue here where obviously, Ireland is an agricultural land. 80% of Ireland is agricultural. And farmers are struggling north and south due to the fact that the cost of feed, the cost of, you know, their electricity, their heat, and everything's gone up. Yet what they're selling to the supermarkets hasn't gone up. And they're finding it tough. And I know that our scriptwriter, Tara, she had originally discovered stories about farmers down south who were committing suicide rather than losing their farms because they've had it for generations, and the shame of actually just seeing your farm being taken away from you is too much. Now, it's tragic, it's real, it is happening. So what we've done is we've created a film that, you know, delves into that and shows the heartache and the pain that families and farmers go through. Especially in our film, we have a couple who have been unfortunate and haven't had any kids. So they've no help to help run the farm. They've no generations to pass down to. And they're in dire straits and they just need an escape. So one of the way I would describe my film is that it's a romance, it's a thriller, there's suspense and there's horror, but there's also comedy in it. And I think it's the comedy that sort of surprises people when they go to see it. I think it is marketed as a thriller out and out, but it's a very Irish comedy within the thriller, because I think that the Irish, when they're faced with threat, quite usually make a joke. You know, that's their way of dealing with big, hard issues, that, you know, humour can come out. So I do think that's important, because, I mean, I've created an 80-minute film that, once it starts, it rattles through quite fast. And I do think you need those little moments just to sort of have a little smile to yourself for a second, you know, or feel like you want to cheer it apart and still enjoy the thriller element of it, because there are plenty of moments that do sort of, you know, put you on the edge of your seat, I think.
If you want to go to the Toronto Festival, the website is toirishfilmfest.com. That's toirishfilmfest.com. And for Ottawa, it is irishfilmfestivalottawa.ca. And you can get all the details there. You get the tickets. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, and really good meeting you. And thank you so much for taking the time. And congratulations on the award you've received. And I'm looking forward to watching the movie.
Yeah, thank you so much.